Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
All right, it's time to head out to the Harbor One Hotline. Joining us now is Sean Salisbury, host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Also host on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. Sean, man, how many gigs you got now, dude?
Well, my man, first of all, good to be with you. And happy holidays to you and your family. Make sure you tell your pops I said hello. Beside that, training quarterbacks, about to start my new podcast on Rumble, which everybody will be able to see. So I don't know, dude. You know what? I know the alternative. So they always told me the more you can do. So I'm trying to do that and get this golf game right, my man. So life's good. It's good to be on with you, Double B. Appreciate it.
Appreciate making some time. I can guarantee you your golf game is better than mine. Mine is horrible right now. I suck. I've quit.
Dude,
I've quit the sport. You remember me,
dude,
man. You've seen me swing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got absolutely no game at Top Golf, but that's okay. I still like your style.
Yeah, the drinks are good, though. I appreciate that. But
anyway, oh, no doubt. They're always flowing.
Yeah. So, Sean, we were talking for a while here today about Hayward leaving the Celtics. How are people doing there with Harden and Westbrook wanting out?
Well, Brian, you having been here for a while, as you know, that the fans take it a bit personal. But you know how they can also fix it if all of a sudden they decide they want to come back. That a 40-point game and a triple-double will change their feeling. But I think there's people who, because Harden's been here so long and Westbrook's 1 year, but the fact that he's been here so long and puts up great numbers, but they don't win a championship, has people thinking, well, go get assets and maybe we can rebuild this in the next 2 or 3 years, obviously with D'Antoni and Morey out as well. So the majority of people want him back. You know, they're trying to figure out, is it just talk? You know, and the one thing about Harden, Brian, and you know this in this organization, aside from LeBron James, there is no player in the league that has more, what's the word, carte blanche, free, I mean, runs the organization more. I mean, he gets to decide when the damn plane flight leaves when they're going on a charter flight out of town. So I don't know, but to turn down $103 million on a 2-year contract may tell you something. He's either got too much money or he wants out, but the longer it goes, the more you think he's going to be here and they'll build around it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I would be so pissed. It's like you told us that you wanted all these guys' draft picks traded so we could get Russell Westbrook, and now you want to bounce a year later? I mean, it just seems weak. Sean Salisbury's with us.
Well, Brian, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but remember, he wanted Paul here, and he wanted Russ Westbrook here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've catered the organization. Everything this franchise does since he's been here has been catered to create an environment of success for him. And then he turns around, turns down a $103 million extension and wants out. I understand. I mean, if he doesn't want people to be offended, then maybe, well, all the things you asked for, you got. So he has no complaint here other than the fact that he has no ring, and that's partially on him too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Sean Salisbury with us, host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, also host of 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, is with us on the Harbor One Hotline. So, Sean, I know Cal McNair said this week that Jack Easterby, who, of course, we're all familiar with here, he's not going to be the GM of the team. But what's going on there, Sean? How is he basically taking over that organization with no football background whatsoever?
Brian, do you know that, and I know how into it you are, and me too, I asked Ian Rapoport the same thing. He doesn't know. Nobody does. That's the crazy thing. Nobody can put their finger on the pulse of it. And you listen to what Belichick said, good guy for an organization, but not a personnel guy. O'Brien brings him in, and then Jack turns around and has the ear and the eyes of of Cal McNair. So first off, the owner's fairly clueless about running a football operation, but that's okay, I guess. But you got to get a football guy in who's got to hire a coach who gets it. But with Easterby, I've said, listen, I'm sure Jack's a good guy. I don't know him personally, but if you're going to continue to allow that guy to have power, then the organization's going to continue to flounder. I mean, there's very few Belichicks around, but he's not a personnel guy. Now, if you want to have him in there, shake hands and kiss baby and invite Joel Osteen over to lead us in prayer, which I'm all for, I get it. I don't mean that's sacrilegious at all, but a football guy needs to be in here. But, he may not be the GM, but how much power, and none of us know how much power Cal McNair is going to give him in, Korn Ferry's been the consulting firm that's going to hire the GM, but does Jack Easterby get to make the final say? So even if he's not the GM, if you're going to give him power over the GM, then what kind of power will the GM have in hiring a coach, or will he, or is he just a figurehead and Jack Easterby runs it? So it's a shocking turn of events, but if it doesn't change, the Houston Texans will continue to flounder and waste a pretty good quarterback's career. But everybody right now, even people on the outside and on the inside, are in flux. Nobody has a clue. It's been a rough year for Houston sports, needless to say.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Harden wants out. You have everything that went on with the Astros. You're not kidding. It has been a rough year. And speaking, you alluded
to... think about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Think about how many teams, I didn't mean to interrupt you, how many teams of the three major sports, since we don't have hockey here, that the head coach and GM have all been fired or left in the same calendar year?
That's
within
crazy.
12 months. All three of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and some brought on by themselves and self-inflicted, others maybe not, but it's been crazy. I can't – now, if there is, I don't know in history if that's ever happened in a 12-month period. I don't think it has, but if it has, then they're just as screwed up as Houston is right now.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And Bill O'Brien, I guess one of them was the same guy, Bill O'Brien. But you mentioned the quarterback.
Yeah,
right. Sean, you mentioned the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. I'm wondering – how's he handling this whole situation? I know he signed the extension, but he saw also his best player get traded to the Arizona Cardinals. How has he been throughout this whole situation where not only is he losing players, but the team has been really bad?
He's been pretty silent on the overall approach. The Hopkins thing, when it first happens, and then, you uplift Hopkins, but you got to continue to, if you're the quarterback, part of your responsibility and accountability is talk about Cooks, talk about Fuller, what you got in-house, because it does no good after the initial trade when you may be frustrated, and then when Bill O'Brien leaves the building because they ran him out. Now you got to focus on your team, because that, even if you don't want to, that's part of the accountability of being the leader and making a couple $100 million playing quarterback. But Brian, he keeps doing his job. He's statistically having a great year, but I'm critical of the position, I guess, because I watch it a little different. And while I think he's spectacular, you and I have discussed this, I think he's a top five or six, a guy, and in the next 5 years will be an MVP guy, and he's got that ability. But part of the ability is a guy you've had there for 20 years who's now in Tampa. We always have said, we judge quarterbacks first and foremost by wins and losses. The numbers are fine and dandy, and some of them are empty because they start so slowly and their defense can't defend anybody. They never score early in games. So while Watson is spectacular, he hadn't been saying much, but part of the onus falls on him. That Russ Wilson's not going 2-7. Brady's not going 2-7. Rodgers isn't going 2-7. So the next level for him is to quit taking sacks. And while the numbers are good, the quarterback, Brady, it didn't matter, Randy Moss, Gronkowski, Chris Hogan, a former lacrosse player, Brady always elevated the guys around him. And if we're going to judge quarterbacks like Marino for not having a Super Bowl, well, Dan didn't get one, well, then we got to start to judge guys, say, great numbers, but when are you going to elevate? I think the thing that bothers me most about Watson, and I think he's spectacular, is there's a semi-casual approach in the post-game press conference, like, well, hey, it is what it is. No, it actually isn't what it is. When you're making $40 million a year, somehow, some way, you got to will him to victory. The two wins just can't be against Jacksonville. And so while he's the best player on the team, he still has the added accountability and responsibility to elevate him. But he's not saying much because he's, maybe when all the season's over and changes are made, and we heard him endorse and he talked about Eric Bieniemy. But other than that, he's doing his job, and he's a really good player. But the next level for him is to elevate guys and make them better, because this talent's too good to go 2-7, and that responsibility falls on the head coach and the quarterback, and neither one of them, now two head coaches, have got it done the way that they're supposed to.
Sean Salisbury is with us on the Harbor One Hotline. He hosts the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, also on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. All right, so Sean, you mentioned the quarterback, and he's been good in terms of the numbers, but the empty calories because the 2-7 record. One thing that can't be disputed is they have a horrible rush defense. The Patriots have been running the ball at an insane rate over the past couple of weeks. Do you see any chance the Texans win this game, or do you think the Patriots are just going to run all over them?
Well, I think the Texans, the reason why they have a chance, Brian, is because of number four, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, here's what happens. They start slow. They're down 17 points, and then Watson throws you back into it, and then the defense can't get off the field. And, Brian, if it happens once, okay, I get it. Happens twice, you start to wonder. Happens nine times in a season. They're 2-7, but it happened. I mean, it doesn't matter who they play. Katy High School on a Friday night's rushing for 200 yards. It's frightening. And I know they say they're giving effort. Well, every team should give effort. And I know they say they play hard. Well, every team should play hard. That's why you get paid. But you can't get stops. I mean, it doesn't matter if they rookie free agent running back in Jacksonville. Even though they beat him, he still rushed in a rookie quarterback getting his first start through for 300. The bottom line is no matter what Watson does, you still have to deal with a defense that, quite frankly, Brian, is putrid. I'm talking about putrid. So we can make all the excuses we want. If I'm Josh McDaniels, and he's a smart guy, he doesn't need me to tell him this, I run the football with Cam. Sony Michel, I believe I saw today. Isn't he coming back to play, Brian? They brought him off.
Yeah, he's coming back. So I assume that's just to spell Damian Harris a little bit because Harris has been so good. But, yeah, they got everything been back in terms of the running game.
Right. Well, at least they'll have some depth at it, right? And Harris has been good. So they're going to run the football. And I'm one of those that, listen, if we have to throw it 15 times if I'm New England, fine. You got the power run game with Cam. You got, you know, the running game and now depth adding Sony Michel. Until they prove to me they can stop it. You saw them stop it a little bit against Cleveland. And then Chubb and Hunt in the second half went off. So I just don't know how they're going to get off the field. So if I'm – and then with Cam running play action off RPO, I would expect New England to have some big plays in the passing game because – Romeo Crennel said it this week in a press conference. He put, you know, one in his weekly press conference said, you got to stick an extra guy down to deal with Cam Newton. All right, so we already know what the deal is, so you're going to put an extra guy down. Don't be surprised if New England comes out and throws it some too. They'll move the ball, the Texans. I just have zero idea, since it's happened nine games in a row, how they're going to stop any run game that has any clue. And obviously the Patriots and Belichick and Josh know how to run the football.
Sean, you mentioned Cam Newton, and he had one stretch during the season where he just was atrocious. At one point, he developed the yips a la Chuck Knoblauch for the Yankees back in the day. But the past couple of weeks, he's played significantly better. He's looked a lot more comfortable. He feels more comfortable in the offense is what he said in all his press availability over the past couple of weeks. But as somebody that played the position in the NFL, what have your impressions been of Newton this season?
I think it's the Dow Jones part of it, Brian. Mm-hmm. And I think when he went there, it was an audition, you know, whether it's an audition to stay long-term in New England or whether it's an audition for somebody else was to stay healthy and to prove that the Cam Newton we knew that was an MVP-type player, even though he may not be the MVP-type player, he's still a tremendous talent. And how was he going to adjust to a different type of game? He's used to a run game and a vertical passing game, and Josh has tried to mix in both, and it's been a tale of three different types for him. Early on, he played well. Then that's about four-game stint was like, what in the hell's going on here? Yeah. And then the last couple of weeks, he started to look like Cam of old again. So I think that for him, the last six games for him to another contract, whether it's in New England or somewhere else, is to sustain his last couple weeks of play. So, but it is. It's a different offense than he's been in. Even with North Turner, this is different what Josh is running. So we got to give a guy a break, but he can't have the spell of four games if he wants the long-term deal. He's a devastating talent, and if he's one of those streak guys that when he's hot, forget it. You can't stop him. But if he's not, you can get on him early, and he may throw you a couple balls. But if I'm the Texans, I would expect the Cam I've seen the last few weeks to come in here because he seems to be gaining some momentum and gaining confidence. Wonderfully talented. It'll all be about the passing game and his consistency with accuracy that will either sustain them the rest of the year and sustain them in the passing game on Sunday. But I'm not sure he has to be great in the passing game, to be honest with you, Brian, this week to beat the Texans. But for his sake and a big money or the next contract, it's going to be important and incumbent upon him to throw the ball consistently like he has when he's going good. in order to sustain this 4 or 5 more years playing the quarterback position. Health has been important, and so will consistency be for the rest of his career.
Former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Make sure to follow Sean on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. All right, Sean, so I know you're hosting in the Bay Area there, 95.7 The Game. So I'm wondering your impressions on this, because you know this guy is a big conversation piece every time he's brought up here locally here in New England. So if you had to pick one of these two quarterbacks for next season to be the Patriots starter, Jimmy Garoppolo or Cam, who would you go with?
I would say probably Jimmy, because he's younger, and it's so funny you ask that, Brian. I talked to a couple guys at your station there, and Lou and Christian Fourier in interviews.
Oh yeah.
And then I was on with them, and one of them was on with me, and then you know the color commentator Scott Zolak, former player, and I asked the question about it was the week New England was playing San Francisco, and I said, who's the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year? And do you know that all three of them said, he's playing in your city, he's playing in San Francisco? And I know they kind of meant it tongue-in-cheek, because they're all three very good and have great insight on what's going on. But I think there's a feeling that, well, with Jimmy hurt, and it's crazy how knee-jerk we are, Brian. I mean, here's a guy who his first full season is starting. He's got him in the Super Bowl with help from the run game and the defense. But still, they didn't get there because of him, but they didn't get there in spite of him. And then he's banged up this year. And I think with the contract situation, it's not a lot of hard cap money against the 49ers. Do they think that he can carry a team for 4 or 5 weeks like Mahomes or Wilson? Most don't. You know how I feel about him. I've always felt like when things are right, he's good. The problem is people wonder when things aren't good, can he elevate a team when they're not running the ball or playing defense? And that's the question here. And this year they haven't had a chance to see much of it because the injuries and the inconsistency in a crazy COVID 2020. So I don't think they've decided in my mind, just judging from it, who their quarterback's going to be here. But I can tell you this, there'll be people standing in line if the 49ers decided to move on from Jimmy. I would think that if you're talking about even though they're not that much younger than each other, I mean, that Jimmy's not that much younger than Cam, I would think that if they had their choice, I would think that New England, not only the fans but the organization, would say we're better moving forward with Jimmy Garoppolo. But there's got to be a second player in that. And the second player would be if San Francisco's ready to move on and say, well, we want Matt Ryan, or we want to trade for Sam Darnold, being the fact that Trevor Lawrence may be there. So I would think that if I was a Patriots over the next 5 to 6 years, that the guy in San Francisco, if you had a shot at him, would probably be more relevant and prevalent for your organization than Cam. And that's not to just push Cam by the wayside. But I'll tell you what, if you ask me, throw Sam Darnold into the mix, if you could go trade for him for a third-round pick, he's better than both over the long haul. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I've talked to 6 or 8 people that are in the know, that scout these people, or that are front office or former coaches. I haven't had one tell me yet that if Sam Darnold ends up on a good team, that he won't be a star in the league. And that's the word they've used. So I don't know if he's going to end up in New England, but if I was Bill Belichick, I'd stand in line for that too.
Yeah, and I hope for him he goes to a good organization. Like, if I was the Steelers, if I was the Steelers, and I know Ben only has a year or two left, I would go after Sam Darnold and put him in there, back up Ben for a year, and see if he can take over after that. Hey, Sean, before you go, I'm interested in your take on these quarterbacks coming into the draft. They're saying now as many as 6 guys could get drafted. Obviously, Lawrence and Fields and Trey Lance, it seems like that's the big three. But out of that next group, when it's Zach Wilson out of BYU, Mac Jones from Alabama, who's kind of like the Joe Burrow role, where he's coming out of nowhere this particular season, and then Kyle Trask out of Florida. Out of that group, which guy do you like the most? Because maybe the Patriots could pick up a guy in the first round in the latter portion of the draft.
Yeah, and you know how important the position is, Brian, and mention just a few of those names. I'm still not sold, and be honest with you, while I think he's a top 5 or 6 pick, I'm still not sold that Fields is the automatic second pick quarterback taken. I'm just not. I'm not now. I know he's gifted,
right. But
we also got to look at consistency, the team he comes from. I like him. I would take him in the top 5 or 6 picks, but I think we just automatically assume. But remember, the guy was beat out at Georgia and they made him transfer, and he had a rough game today, but I think he's a wonderful talent, and he's probably going to be the second quarterback taken. But and Lance, who hasn't had enough work this year, but everybody talks about how great he is, and what I've seen of him, I like him too. Zach Wilson's extremely accurate. I train a quarterback at BYU who's a young kid and is one of the backups there trying to win the job. I watched Zach Wilson and spent a lot of time talking to him over the summer and the offseason, and I was impressed with him. I didn't realize he was this good. He's tough. He's magical. He can run the football, and he's accurate. He's perfect, and there's going to be teams that love him. Trask is a guy who never started a high school game yet, big, strong, and his stock is rising because he's an accurate, big-time pocket guy. And then finally, the one we didn't mention is, oh, Mac Jones. And I like these kind of guys. He's raw. And so you start to think, well, maybe he's got a huge upside because we haven't seen a lot of him. But I'm sure impressed. He's taken over for Tua, the Alabama tradition. He looks the part. And then I wondered, well, how accurate will he be under pressure? Well, we see. The guy has been completing almost 80%. I do think there's five or six guys, depending on need, that are drafted. But don't sleep on somebody jumping up towards where teams say, do we want Fields or Wilson with the second pick or one of those guys? There's going to be a lot of differing opinions once you get past Trevor Lawrence on who the second, third, and fourth guys are, and that's what's going to make for a fun, intriguing draft. But all those guys have gotten better this year that you talked about on the bottom three have all gotten better and made an impression with their performance, and that's all we're going to have to go by, Brian, because of COVID. You're not going to be able to work them out as much as you'd like, so watching tape is going to be important in the evaluation.
Yeah, Sean, you're getting me excited. It's going to be musical chairs in the NFL with the quarterbacks that are already in the league. And then the draft, you could have six guys in the first round. It's just going to be an awesome offseason in the NFL.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, I'm ready for the rest of the season, but now I'm kind of excited for the offseason. That's Sean Salisbury.
I feel you, brother.
That's Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. Sean, thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. And hopefully the Patriots will be up 17-3 at some point tomorrow, and then we can see if Watson come back.
I assure you that'll have about around the middle of the second quarter. It'll be about 20-3. You're exactly right. Brian, thanks for having me on. My best to your family and all those great people at WEI and the great Boston fans. Go Sox, man. I look forward to talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Sean joined us on the Harbor One Hotline. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. It's at Sean Unfiltered. He, of course, hosts in Houston at Sports Talk 790. He's also at 95.7 the Bay Area. So that's why I asked him about Jimmy Garoppolo. So great stuff there. It is going to be an incredible offseason in the NFL in terms of the quarterbacks. And he mentioned a guy like Sam Darnold now. If you're a Pittsburgh, or even if you're the Patriots, if you bring back Cam Newton, or if you decide to go the Jimmy Garoppolo route, and it feels like this week with some of the stuff that Bill Belichick has been saying, it feels like Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2021. That's how I feel right now. It seems like Bill Belichick's really loves himself some Cam Newton, vice versa. Cam Newton loves himself some Bill Belichick as well. I believe that Cam will be the quarterback next season. But if you don't draft a guy high, is it worth taking a flyer on a guy like Sam Darnold? Who, remember, when he came out of the draft a couple of years ago, he was considered to be the best quarterback. Now, I know we all think of Sam Darnold, oh, he's seeing ghosts and all that, remember from the Monday Night Football game. But he is a talented player. And if you're not getting a premium guy in the draft, it may be worth taking a guy that's getting his second opportunity with a new organization, whether you're the Patriots or especially the Steelers, because we saw what they were last year in terms of their backup situation. All right, I will get back into the Patriots and the Texans. I don't give the Texans much of a chance. It doesn't seem like Sean gives the Texans much of a chance in this one either. But I do want to get into Cam Newton and whether or not you want Cam Newton back here in 2021. 617-779-7937, the number. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
T-Mobile and WEI want to help move small business forward. Enter your business for a chance to win a free advertising campaign. Go to WEI.com/T-Mobile. Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. Gordon Hayward is a Charlotte Hornet. ESPN Adrian Wojnarowski was the first to report that Hayward signing a four-year, $120 million deal with Charlotte. Hayward averaged 17 points last season for the Seas. Elsewhere, Woj reporting that Fred VanVleet will stay with the Raptors on a four-year, $85 million deal. The Athletic Sham Sharania reports Avery Bradley is joining the Heat on a two-year, $11.6 million deal. Sharania also reports that Paul Millsap is heading to the Denver Nuggets. He was considering the Celtics, but he's going back to the Nuggets. NFL Sunday comes your way on Sunday morning at 9 with Wiggy Fourier and Rich Keefe. The Pats will visit the Texans tomorrow afternoon. Stephon Gilmore hinted on Friday that he could return after missing the last three games, and Gilmore posted a picture on his Instagram account with his road bag packed. Gilmore is officially listed as questionable with that knee issue, but it looks like he's going to play. Meanwhile, running back Sony Michel has also been activated off IR. Michelle has not played since the Week 4 win over the Raiders due to a quad injury. The Houston Chronicle reports Texans left tackle Laremy Tunsil out with an illness. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to What You Want to Hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, we're with you up until 7, 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh into the Gordon Hayward situation or the Patriots as they get ready for the Texans. And do you want Cam Newton back as the Patriots quarterback in 2021? It's been such a roller coaster ride with Cam. I remember at the beginning of the season where after the Seattle game, everybody wanted to give him an extension. Now, let me make it abundantly clear, I was not in that camp. It made no sense to me. As great as he looked against Seattle, I did not want to give Cam Newton an extension after two good games. You have all the leverage over the player. If he was so great the entire season, you could have franchised him. He's been pretty good the past couple of weeks. He's been an above-average quarterback the last 3 weeks. Now, of course, he had that hiccup in the middle, and at that point, you thought, there's no way he's going to be back. But now it seems like he's gaining positive momentum within the organization, and Bill Belichick is going out of his way to praise Cam Newton. Here was Bill earlier this week on his quarterback.
Yeah, Cam's got a good leadership style. He has a good personality, gets along with everybody, works with everybody. I think everybody feels, a positive connection to him, and that, he knows who they are and cares about them, and, wants to fit in as a member of the team, just like everybody else does. And, I think we all appreciate and respect that. So, he demands a lot out of himself, which is, a good leadership trait. And he's very supportive of his teammates, which is another good leadership trait. So, I think he's done a good job, especially considering that it's a new team and, he doesn't have the background that, some other players and a lot of us have in this organization. But he kind of brings a different kind of a fresher, maybe, energy or perspective to the things that, I think we all can appreciate that as well. So it's really, I think it's, it's worked out in a positive way from that standpoint. Sure, he's learned some things about our organization, learned some things from us. And I think, we've all learned some things from him. And, can see why he's had accomplished so much in other, whether it be at Carolina or at Auburn, why he's been so successful at other places over a long period of time as well. So it's been good.
Oh, my God. The love fest is unbelievable. Wasn't Tom Brady looking for a compliment for Bill Belichick for years? Like, isn't what he was asking for was to get a little bit more positive praise from Belichick? And now we hear this a couple of days ago, Belichick just going out of his way, a tongue bathing for Cam Newton. Bill, by the way, said everybody three times in that soundbite that you just heard. He said Cam gets along with everybody. Cam works with everybody. I think everybody feels a positive connection with him. Is that kind of a shot at Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady had issues with the younger players last year and mainly the younger receivers. Was Bill Belichick kind of taking a shot at Tom Brady indirectly and praising Cam Newton? But the overwhelming point, I just feel like that was a slight jab at Tom Brady, but the overwhelming point and the overwhelming sense I get right now, does this really sound like a guy that's going to be gone after one season? Or I should say, does this sound like the coach of a player that's going to be gone after one season? He goes out of his way to continually praise Cam Newton. And it's going both ways. Remember, Cam said earlier in this week that he wouldn't be surprised if God or Jesus is one of the numbers that Bill Belichick has in his Rolodex. So they're praising each other both ways. And here's the thing. When you look at it from Belichick's perspective, he's still chasing down Don Shula in terms of the wins. You look at his team, they're not going to be able to be in contention for a Trevor Lawrence, a Justin Fields, or a Trey Lance. Maybe you can get one of the next three guys, Zach Wilson, Kyle Trask, or Mac Jones. But if you're Bill Belichick and you make a run here in the second half of the season, and you're looking at your quarterback Cam Newton, and he's starting to continue to be on this trajectory, which is a positive one now after having just a horrible stretch against the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers. Clearly, they have designed an offense over the past couple of weeks that works better for Cam. I believe they're going to bring him back in 2021. Really, what are their other options right now? So it's, okay, you can bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. I've never been a fan of Jimmy Garoppolo. I believe he's overrated. And despite the fact that Jacoby Myers has really come on over the past couple of weeks, he's been outstanding, you still don't have a lot of weapons, right? So Jimmy Garoppolo thrives when things are going well, when they fit perfectly, right? When you have the weapons like last year, when you had Kittle, you had the great running game, you had Deebo Samuel, you brought in a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. But when you need to create stuff with your legs, Jimmy Garoppolo does not have that ability that Cam Newton does. This particular roster, Cam Newton fits better than Jimmy Garoppolo does. That's just the reality of how the roster is built, right? So when you look at it from that perspective, well, it's Jimmy G, Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So even if you're going to draft a young quarterback, you're still going to need somebody to hold the fort down for a little bit. And it would just seem like it's more beneficial to both sides for Cam Newton to be that player because he will be 1 year comfortable in the system instead of bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has no idea what's going on. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I just quite frankly don't think the guy's that good. I really don't. Look at him this year. He was horrible when he was actually on the football field. And secondly, if you think Cam has had health issues in his career, Jimmy Garoppolo is made of plastic. He can never stay on the football field. He's had one healthy year, which was last year. That's it. He cannot stay healthy whatsoever. So I believe what the Patriots are going to do is they're going to add to this position, whether that's in the draft, whether that's like we were just talking about with Sean Salisbury, or retread like a Sam Darnold, who's a younger player. But Cam's going to be the quarterback in 2021. And right now, I don't have a problem with it because it doesn't change the fact that you still need to find a young guy. And if Cam is that Band-Aid or bridge for another year, I don't have a problem with it whatsoever if he continues on this trajectory. Obviously, this conversation means nothing if he just sucks the rest of the season. Then we're not having this conversation. But I believe he's going to be back. And the other thing, when you look at it from Cam's angle, where the hell else is he going to go? Remember, he had no market last year. Now, this year, you can say, well, Brian, if he's coming off a good stretch down the season, down the end of the season, maybe he will have more of a market. But who? Who are the teams right now that are going to go after a quarterback that's 31? The only team I can come up with that makes any sense whatsoever would be the Bears. But they just traded for Nick Foles, and they're paying Nick Foles. They've obviously moved on from Trubisky, but the Bears would be really your only competition to keeping Cam Newton and really the only suitor for Cam Newton. You could have said the Chargers before last year, but they got the young quarterback. And if you're the Jaguars, if you're the Jets, you're obviously taking Lawrence, but if you're the Jaguars, if you're Washington, you're not going the older route. You want to get younger. You want a younger quarterback in there right now because you're not ready to win right now. So I just feel like based on Cam not having much of a market, the Patriots really not having another option at the quarterback position, that Cam's going to be back in 2021. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 o'clock. When we come back, a former Belichick assistant coach. He's getting himself in a little bit of trouble this week. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
Right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, we're with you until 7. Then it's Bedlam. OU and Oklahoma State should be a good one tonight. So how about this? Mike Silver, the NFL Network, tweeted, quote, "In making the case that the Patriots system is supreme, Joe Judge and some of his ex-New England assistants have openly denigrated the abilities of Tom Brady, claiming he struggles when it comes to throwing deep, throwing outside the numbers, and moving the pocket. He's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks throwing the ball down the field this year." And this is the thing that I don't understand. You're Joe Judge, man. You're in your first year as the head coach of the Giants. Like a week ago, I felt good about Joe Judge, what they were doing there in New York. Like they've played well over the past month or so. But the crap that went on with the offensive line coach, where they got into a verbal argument, you fired him. And now it comes out that in the locker room or within the coaching circle, so to speak, within the building, you're denigrating Tom Brady. Why is that even a topic of conversation with the New York Giants and their coaching staff? That is just dumb. That is incredible to me that Joe Judge is talking about Tom Brady and there was more about the Patriot system. Why don't you focus on the Giants, right? Because we've seen plenty of Belichick assistants flame out. You should be focused on the Giants. Don't worry about Tom Brady. He's doing his thing in Tampa, okay? And you got rings on your finger because of that guy. So don't worry about Tom Brady. Why don't you focus on the Giants? Let's get to Wayne in South Boston. What's up, Wayne?
Brian Barrow. What's up, brother?
What's up?
I want to talk about, real quick, I wanted to get my picks in because I hit it right on the nose last week. I said 24-17. What was the score?
23.
What was the final score? 23. I was off by one number.
Yeah. There you go, Wayne.
I picked it. I'm going to pick this game, too. 31-17, Patriots. And everything you said, Brian, is exactly right. I think if Cam Newton can get us to 9-7 or 10-6, one of the two, he's definitely going to be here. He's going to be here for another year. And I hope so, because if like you said, if he wasn't in that, if he didn't have that COVID, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come down on him, we were on a roll, you know what I mean? And then he got this, and it knocked him out of it for a little while, and he looked foggy in those two games against,
Wayne, that's the thing that just last week after the win of the Ravens, right, on Sunday night, I'm so hyped up because you beat a good Baltimore team. And then I'm thinking to myself, how the hell did they lose to Denver? Denver is so garbage. If you had just won that Denver game, right?
You're sitting there at
5-4, Wayne, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, these other teams are at 6-3, but you feel good about your position. And now you're 4-5. You're about to get back to 5-5, but it just feels like that Denver game is the one that really is going to sting. And I know you had a chance against Seattle and you fumbled against Buffalo, but just the fact that Denver is such a horrible opponent and you blew that game, that may be the one that really comes back to bite you if you don't get that wild card spot, one of the three.
You're right there, but did you see him? He couldn't even, he looked like he didn't even know how to throw the ball in that game.
Yeah, Wayne,
he was out of it.
Yeah,
Brian.
Wayne,
he was out of it.
He had the yips. He looked like Chuck Knobloch years ago for the Yankees trying to throw to first base. He had the yips,
yes,
man.
He's throwing
into the ground. I mean, that was incredible.
That was horrible. I was like, if this is how this guy's going to be for the rest of the season, you know what I mean? But I had a feeling, I'm like, you could just tell something was lingering, you know what I mean? Something with this COVID was lingering. And then he came out and said it. What? He said it the other night.
Yeah,
I was foggy. So I was right. I was saying, you know what I mean? And like you said, if he can get us to 10-6 or 9-7, get us to the playoffs after this debacle we've just been through, keep the guy for now. I mean, we can franchise him, right? Isn't he franchised?
Yeah, I mean, you could franchise him, Wayne, or you could do a 2-year contract with him, something along those lines. The question is going to be how much do you pay the guy, because basically the going rate, Teddy Bridgewater got north of $20 million. I would imagine that Cam's going to want something in that range. So that's going to be the question. Wayne, appreciate the call tonight, man. Enjoy the game tomorrow. But that's going to be the question, is how much are you willing to pay Cam Newton? Really, backups get, what, $7 million? Like, Ryan Tannehill got the $7 million deal to come over, and then he got the extension from the Titans this year. But if Cam's going to be the starter next year, he's not going to be playing on a cheap contract. He's going to want something in that $20 million range. Obviously, you're not going to go long-term, but I would be shocked if Cam Newton's not the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year. I just don't see another option right now. I don't think it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't want a Ryan Fitzpatrick type. And if you do draft a rookie, based on where you're drafting, odds are that guy's not going to be ready to play from week one. And Belichick's going to want a competitive team in 2021, so it's going to be Cam Newton, your starting quarterback. By the way, speaking of Brady hate, not just Joe Judge, did you see Phil Simms' list this week? He put out his midseason quarterback list, the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. He didn't have Brady in it. He had Joe Burrow in it. He's a nice rookie player, but come on. He also had Josh Allen in it. Incredible. Ryan Tannehill, who's been god-awful the past month, he had Ryan Tannehill as a better player right now than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now, according to Phil Simms. Or not Phil Simms, Chris Simms. Sorry to Phil Simms. Chris Simms. And what a horrible list. Something happened with Chris Simms and Tom Brady because he just hates Tom Brady. Now he's like a Patriots guy. Now he thinks the Patriots are good because Tom Brady's out of the equation. Yet when Tom Brady was here, Tom Brady's the most overrated player. So it feels like now he's hopped on the Patriots bandwagon because Brady's out of the equation. All right, thanks to Bridget for producing. I got the Pats tomorrow, 24-14. They win it convincingly, and they don't have any trouble with the Texans. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.